Will you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning has been read from the lectern. My dear fellow redeemed, simo justus et peccato has a nice ring to it. It rolls off the tongue so easily. We massage it so well in class. We don't exactly know what to do with it in terms of our life. Is it indicative, declarative, imperative, or even excusative? I'll resist the temptation of talking about simultaneous sinners and saints. The image that I would rather use this morning based on our text and the context is to address you this morning as both the living and the dead. The living and the dead is there. If we back up in the book of Colossians just a few short verses to the 20th verse of the second chapter, we see the words, "Since you died with Christ." And in the first verse of the third chapter, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." So apparently we are both the living and the dead. Paul likes to work with that imagery of telling us who we are, tells the Colossians who they are. And always with those great words of Paul that backs you up in thinking, therefore, then, since, now. And so in our text, he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, and lists off that list, sexual immorality, impurity, the whole list. And you can almost see Paul with a twinkling in his eye say, oh, by the way, that's the way you used to live. Although the implication is there by imperative as well, to take heed. Take heed. Now the twinkle comes back. He says, that's right, all that stuff was part of your former life. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. That's also quite a list. And I would suggest to you, dear brothers and sisters, this morning that that might be the list that we have to deal with most. The Colossians, he's saying, you used to live that way, now you don't, but now let me add to this in the sense of, have you thought about? And I would have Paul talk to us this morning, have you thought about? No excuses, certainly no presumptive grace. We know how Paul answered that one, God forbid. But we hear it, and we hear it grossly even in the church. Go to district meetings, and the synodical convention, or maybe as close as the dining hall. No excuses. And the image is always there. Paul's playing off the old and the new and the dead and the live and the sinner and the saint. Always reminding us who and what we are. Who and what we are. Very next words he uses the image. Take off the old self, put on the new self. Wow. These verses have been described as both indicative and imperative. Indicative in the sense of telling us who we are. You're dead in Christ, alive by the resurrection. You're new. You've been bought. You're His. Yes, you're saints. We know all too well, though, you living and you dead, that our corpse wants to sneak out of that coffin all the time, doesn't it? Otherwise, there wouldn't be the et peccator. But Luther wonderfully tells us how to stuff that guy back in the coffin and keep him there repeatedly by daily contrition and repentance. Daily. To once more remind us who we are. For here, my dear friends, is both motivation and power. In that wonderful gospel message that we are told what He has done for us and what we have become, there is both power and motivation. So easy, my dear friends, for all of us to make excuses for the coffin person. Rather, though, we are told to let the new man daily come forth, who will arise and live before God in righteousness and purity forever. We're His workmanship, created unto good works. Do you realize what that means to us in community? What that means to us as we live together in this place? As we look at each other with the true meaning of fellowship and edifying? That we build each other up as mutual saints in the Lord, fellow blood-bought sinners? That we're His? That I look at you as His? You look at me as His. You look at each other for who and what you are. And then we act towards each other in like manner. That's no berating of the law. That's so typical of Paul, isn't it? To just tell us who we are, what we have become, and then say, therefore. So let this be our prayer. May God strengthen in each one of us a faith that so identifies with Christ's death and resurrection that it reflects itself in the way we live. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen.